Very fortunate to have His Grace Sukumar Gaur Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 5.2.6 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Before handing the call to Prabhuji, I would like to hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji to read the verses. Tiffany Mataji, you can take over the call, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 2, Verse 6. Tamiva vidare madukarim iva sumanasa upaji griantim divija manuja mano naya nala duger gati vihara vrida vinaya valoka susvarakshara vayaver manashi nirnam kusuma yudasya vidatim vivaram nijamukha vigasa sahasa vasana moda madanda madukara nukaro parodena Juta pada vinyasena valga valgu spandana stana kalasha kavara bara rasanam devim tara valokanena vrita vrita vasarasya bhagavato makaro dva jasva I'm sorry dva jasya vasham upanito jaravariti hovacha. And Hare Krishna, should I read the translation in purport or would you like to do that, Prabhuji?
Okay. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, do you want to read or Mataji should read?
Let Mataji read. I'll take the second 7 minutes.
Yeah, yes. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. And so the translation in purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Like a honeybee, the apsara smelled the beautiful and attractive flowers. She could attract the minds and vision of both humans and demigods by her playful movements, her shyness and humility, her glances, the very sounds that poured from her mouth as she spoke, and the motion of her limbs. By all these qualities, she opened for Cupid, who bears an arrow of flowers, a path of oral reception into the minds of men. When she spoke, nectar seemed to flow from her mouth. As she breathed, the bees, mad for the taste of her breath, tried to hover about her beautiful lotus-like eyes. Disturbed by the bees, she tried to move hastily, but as she raised her feet to walk quickly, her hair, the belt on her hips and her breasts, which were like water jugs, also moved in a way that made her extremely beautiful and attractive. Indeed, she seemed to be making a path for the entrance of Cupid, who is most powerful. Therefore, the prince, completely subdued by seeing her, spoke to her as follows. In the purport, how a beautiful woman's movements and gestures, her hair and the structure of her breasts, hips, and other bodily features attract the minds not only of men but of demigods also is very finely described in this statement. The words divija and manuja specifically emphasize that the attraction of feminine gestures is powerful everywhere within this material world, both on this planet and in the higher planetary systems. It is said that the standard of living in the higher planetary systems is thousands and thousands of times higher than the standard of living on this planet. Therefore, the beautiful bodily features of the women there are also thousands and thousands of times more attractive than the features of the women on earth. The Creator has constructed women in such a way that their beautiful voices and movements and the beautiful features of their hips, their breasts, and other parts of their bodies attract the members of the opposite sex, both on Earth and on other planets, and awaken their lusty desires. When one is controlled by Cupid or the beauty of women, he becomes stunned like matter, much such a stone. Captivated by the material movements of women, he wants to remain in this material world. Thus, one's promotion to the spiritual world is checked simply by seeing the beautiful bodily structure and movements of women. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore warned all devotees to beware of the attraction of beautiful women and materialistic civilization. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even refused to see Pratapurudra Maharaj, because he was a very opulent person in the material world. Lord Chaitanya said in this connection, Niskinchanayasya Bhagavad Bhajan Nan Mukkasya. Those who are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord because they are very serious about going back home, back to Godhead, should be very careful to avoid seeing the beautiful gestures of women and should also avoid seeing persons who are very rich. Niskinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajan Nanmukasya Paramparam Jigamisur Bhava Sagarasya Sandarshanam Visayinam Ata Yoshitam Cha Ha Hanta Hanta Visha Bhakshanato Pya Sadhu. Alas, for a person who is seriously desiring to cross the material ocean and engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord without material motives, seeing a materialist engaged in sense gratification, or seeing a woman who is similarly interested in is more abominable than drinking poison willingly. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 11.8. One who is serious about going back home, back to Godhead, should not contemplate the attractive features of women and the opulence of rich men. Such contemplation will check one's advancement in spiritual life. Once a devotee is fixed in Krishna consciousness, however, these attractions will not agitate his mind. Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, we cannot hear you. Are you on mute?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Is it okay? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
So we'll be reading from the 7th shloka. Katvam chikarsha sikcha kim univarya shaile maya sikapi bhagavat paradevataya vichye vibarshidanushi suridatatma norte Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, E.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The prince mistakenly addressed the apsara, "O best of saintly persons, who are you? Why are you here on this hill? And what do you want to do? Are you one of the illusory potencies of the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead? You seem to be carrying two bows without string. What is the reason for carrying these bows? Is it for some purpose of your own or for the sake of a friend? Perhaps you carry them to kill the mad animals in this forest." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. While undergoing severe penances in the forest, Agnidra was captivated by the movements of Purvachitti, the girl sent by Lord Brahma. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Kamas Taiste Ritagyana, when one becomes lusty, he loses his intelligence. Therefore, Agnidra, having lost his intelligence, could not distinguish whether Purvachitti was a male or female. He mistook her for a Muniputra, the son of a saintly person in the forest, and addressed her as Munivari. Because of her personal beauty, however, he could not believe her to be a boy. He therefore began studying her features. First, he saw her two eyebrows, which were so expressive that he wondered whether he or she might be the Maya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words used in these connections are Bhagavat Paradevataya. Devata, the demigod, all belong to this material world. Whereas Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, is always beyond this material world and therefore known as Paradevata. The material world is certainly created by Maya, but it is created under the direction of the Paradevata, the supreme personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dekshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Maya is not the ultimate authority for creation of this material world. Maya acts on behalf of Krishna. Purvachitti's eyebrows were so beautiful that Agnidra compared them to bow without strings. He therefore asked her whether they were used for her own purpose or for sake of someone else. Her eyebrows were like bows meant to kill animals in the forest. This material world is like a great forest. And its inhabitants are like forest animals such as deer and tigers meant to be killed. The killers are the eyebrows of beautiful women. Captivated by the beauty of the fair sex, all the men of this world are killed by the bows without string, but cannot see how they are killed by Maya. It is a fact, however, that they are being killed. Bhutva bhutva praliyate, by dint of his tapas. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. By dint of his tapasya, Agnidra could understand how Maya acts under the direction of the Supreme Personality of God. The word Pramattan is also significant. Pramatta refers to one who cannot control his senses. The entire material world is being exploited by people who are Pramatta or Vimuda. Prahlad Maharaj therefore said, Shoche tato vimukache tasa indriyarthe Maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimuda. They are rotting in the material activities for transient pleasure and spoiling their lives, toiling all day and night simply for sense gratification, with no attachment for love of God. I am simply lamenting for them and devising various plans to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. Bhagavad 7.9.43. Karmis who act very seriously for sense gratification are always referred to in the Shastras by such terms as Pramatta, Vimukha and Vimuda. They are killed by Maya. However, one who is a Pramatta, a sane, sober person, a dhira, knows very well that the human being's prime duty is to render service to the Supreme Person. Maya is always ready to kill those who are Pramatta with her invisible bows and arrows. Agnidra questioned Purvachitti about this. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सुजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमां विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनत नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणि निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा. सो वी वेलकम ऑल डिवोटीज फॉर दिस श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास. सो ग्रेटफुल टू ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर अलाउिंग मी टू मेक अ प्रेजेंटेशन ऑन दिस Shloka from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto. Right now we are on the chapter named Activities of Maharaj Agnidra. And in 1st and 2nd shloka, we saw how Maharaj Agnidra is ruling the entire planet Earth like a father. And his dealings to the citizens were like, his dealing just like a father deals with his children. But then he has a desire to enter the Pitruloka. That is what we see in Shloka number 1 and 2. And that is why he takes on to worship of Lord Brahma. Now, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada very candidly and vividly brings out the Iha and Para concept. Iha means of this life and Para means of the next life. So Prabhupada is bringing this concept to show that when you are in the Iha, in this world, you have to plan for the next world. You cannot plan for the next world when you go to some other destination or when you are at the end of this life. That planning has to take place right now, from now onwards. If you want to improve your Para, you have to improve your Iha. This is what the equation is. Preparing for Para has to be done right now when you are in the Iha. This is what Prabhupada brings. You cannot do it later on. And the same concept also was brought out in first chapter of Bhagavad Gita 1.36, where Arjuna is fearful of the sinful reactions that he'll be incurring when he takes on to war with his own relatives. And that is where in 1.41 he brings out this concept of Patanti Pitaro Yesha Lupta Pindodaka Kriya. He says if all these men will be killed, then it will be difficult for the people who have left this world and are moving ahead in their next life. They'll not be getting good destination. So Arjuna is also showing his concern for his Para right now at the moment when he was on the battlefield, on the war field. So this is what Agnitra Maharaj is also planning. Agnitra Maharaj is planning for his future right now, in that terms, in that way. And he started this from his early days. So what was the requirement to reach the Pitruloka? For that he needed a qualified wife. And how does one get a qualified wife or a qualified husband? He has to perform tapasya. A proper bona fide tapasya, to have a proper partner or a proper person in his life. And that is how, when a qualified husband and a qualified wife, they come together, then a qualified progeny which is suitable for the society is created. But then who sends this right person? That is where the Brahmaji comes into picture, because here we see that he is praying to Lord Brahma so that he can get his desire fulfilled. Now, from the third shloka to the sixth shloka, when Maharaj Agnitra has gone to Mount Mandara to perform tapasya, and he is performing his tapasya wholeheartedly, and then understanding his desire, when he is about to reach to the maturity of his tapasya, is when Lord Brahma sends Purvachitti, Apsara from Brahmaloka named Purvachitti. And this Apsara was sent not to disturb his spiritual practices, but it came as a culmination of his spiritual practices. Otherwise, it would have mentioned that she had come there to disturb his sadhana. But it is not so. She came as a culmination of his spiritual practices. Now, Maharaj Agnidra was performing tapasya on Mount Mandara, and he was controlling his senses. He was in meditation. That is what it is written in the purport. But when Maharaj Agnidra was in his stage of performing tapasya, and it was about to mature, this is the time where Purvachitti comes, and the tinkling of her ankle bell, his meditation is disturbed. Now, Srila Prabhupada in his purport, he brings out this point. Why was this meditation broken of Priyavrat Maharaj? Because it was he had started this tapasya on the very foundation of having some material desires, the fruits of which he wanted to enjoy. Now, how come a person who is a son of a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, who has had audience with Lord Brahma, Manu, and Narad Muni, how come such a person who is a pure devotee of the Lord is having a son who is not desiring to go back to Godhead, rather he is desiring to go to Pitruloka? Then Prabhupada makes this point very clear, that when his father Priyavrat Maharaj was about to beget Agnitra Maharaj, that time his father was infatuated by passionate desires, and that passionate desires influenced the upcoming progeny, and that is how he became not a pure devotee but a person who had strong desires to enjoy in this material world, and that is why he takes on to this process of Siddh Yoga and tries to please Lord Brahma. Now, Srila Prabhupada also makes one very important point here. He's saying that how to purify your senses completely. Because in this scene, we see that Agnidra Maharaj got distracted just by hearing the tinkling. Now, what is this tinkling meaning? It was some sort of contact between the senses and the object. And that is how he got distracted. That means there was still a material desire to enjoy this world somewhere lurking in his mind or heart. And that is where Prabhupada brings this point. Rishikena Rishi, Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhaktarichyate. The best way for complete purification of the senses is to engage all our senses in the service of Lord Krishna, Lord Rishikesh, who is the master of the senses. If we take to some other process, there is no guarantee that there will be complete purification. And even if it happens, it takes a long time and the process is very arduous. So we are not saying that other processes don't work, but they are not suitable for this time where people have limited strength of mind and body. So it is not very suitable. So the easiest method is Bhakti Yoga. That is what Prabhupada is saying here. And then Prabhupada gives two examples. First is of a Siddha and second is of a Sadhaka. Prabhupada brings this point of Siddha in terms of Srila Haridas Thakur and the prostitute, the example which we all know very well. Here in this example, Prabhupada is bringing out the point that he was a Siddha. He was a completely perfect being, and that is why he was able to draw the attention of the prostitute towards him. Not only to him, to the chanting of the holy names. That was the power. That is why we call him a Siddha. Because he could attract her attention. But here in the Sadhaka case, which Prabhupada quotes in terms of Vishwamitra Muni, Vishwamitra Muni's attention was caught or drawn away from his sadhana. And it was drawn to the sense objects. So this is the difference. The Siddha is able to draw others' attention to Krishna. And a sadhak, his attention gets diverted away from Krishna when some sense objects come in the picture. And now in the sixth shloka, Prabhupada is describing the attractive features of this heavenly damsel called Purvachitti. And when he hears the tinkling of her ankle bells, this is where Agnitra Maharaji gets diverted. And that results in his increased stay in the material world. That means he didn't achieve Vaikuntha Loka. He went somewhere in the Pitru Loka, which is in this 14 planetary system. So that is how his stay increased in this material world. That is what Prabhupada is bringing. Now we see in this shloka here that Agnidra Maharaj, when he is seeing her, he is completely captivated by her rupa, her form. And when he's completely captivated, he loses his intelligence. And when his intelligence is lost, he's not able to distinguish whether the person standing before him is a male or a female. That is why initially he's addressing her as Muniputra. But when he's again and again repeatedly seeing her beauty, experiencing her beauty, he comes to some understanding that the person standing before me doesn't seem like a male. And that is where he carefully starts observing the bodily features which are described in shloka number 6. In the 7th shloka, he first started seeing her face. That is how we interact usually with people. We start by glancing at their face and the features that are there on the face, the beautiful eyes, the nose, the eyebrows, lips, the way he talks and his gestures. So this is how he started. The first thing he saw was her eyes and the curved eyebrows on those eyes. And here, just seeing those eyebrows, the emotions of Agnitra Maharaj were heavily churned. And he's emotions are so heavily churned that he is expressing in the further shlokas, he will be expressing very boldly and describing the various features of this person who has come from Brahmaloka. Now here Agnidra Maharaj is saying, your eyes seem like bow without string. His eyebrows, he's comparing them to bows which are without string. And he's saying, are this used for personal use or for helping somebody else? So this personal beauty can be used for personal sake also, and maybe at times to help others. So how do we understand this? Why is he saying like this? So the beauty can be used for personal use also, just like we see in 10th canto 53rd chapter where Mother Rukmini and Lord Krishna comes and takes away Mother Rukmini. So 51st to 55th shloka is the entire process when she comes out after meeting the Brahmana, goes and enters her room, and she sees the Brahmana and he's happy. She understands that Krishna has come. She comes out of her personal chambers, and then she is moving towards the Durga Mandir. And when she is walking through the way, she goes and does all her puja. She comes out, and when she comes out, this is the time where she gives a beautiful smile. And Vyasadev writes that all proper translators, all of the kings were stupefied. They dropped down their weapons. Now see how intelligent Rukmini Devi is. Now what she does, she understands that I have to be with Krishna because my life is for Krishna. And what she does is just the locks of hairs which are covering her eyes, she takes some locks and just moves them aside. And from the corner of her eyes, she glances at all the kings. Ultimately, she wanted to figure out where Krishna is standing. So she just gives a sidelong glance, and there Vyasadeva writes, Shukadeva Goswami is saying that just by seeing her eyebrows and her beautiful eyes and her sight of seeing through the corner of her eyes, all the kings, they dropped their weapons. Some of them fell from their chariots, and when they were heavily shocked by such pure beauty, transcendental beauty, and they couldn't digest the entire episode, and they were somehow shaky. And this is the time when they were not cautious, is when Krishna takes her away. So she has used her personal beauty for what? To be with Krishna. On the other hand, it can be for somebody else's sake also. Just like in 3rd canto, 14th chapter, 28th shloka, we see Kashyap Rishi and Diti. Kashyap Rishi is glorifying Diti. He says, Yam Ashritya Indriya Aratin Durjayan Itar Ashrame. He says the senses to be controlled in other ashrams. Other ashram is Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas is difficult. Vayam Jayama Helabi. But it is very easy for those in the Grahastha Ashram. Dasyu Durgapati Yatha. Because the Durgapati, the commander, the husband of the fort, he is protected by the protective walls known as wife. This person named as wife, she helps him thus you conquer the inner six enemies. And that is why she has been termed as a protective wall. Using her personal beauty, he helps her husband to conquer all the six anarthas so that he can stay steady in his spiritual life. So yes, this beautiful eyes can be used for personal sake also, by trying to connect to Krishna, and by helping somebody else also, they are useful. So this is the point what Prabhupada has written in the purport. Now from 7th to 16th shloka, this section is where Agnidra Maharaj is so captivated by her beauty that he is flattering her through his speech and his gestures and trying to attract the attention of Purvachitti. And to gain, he's trying to propose and gain a yes from her to sanction, so that his proposal gets sanctioned. From 17th shloka to the 23rd shloka, he has flattered her so well And it Bhagavat recommend that if you are in a relation, you can flatter. It is a bona fide process. Even in Bali Maharaj's case, he is saying this to Avandit. And then we see that he sets up his, she agrees, both of them enter a proper relationship and they set up a family. She gives birth to 9 sons. She leaves the she leaves all her sons when they are grown up. And after the sons are grown up, that is where Agnitra Maharaj divides the entire Bhumandala in the to his 9 different sons and gives them to rule. But the point is, Agnitra Maharaj, even after such a long period of time, his passionate desires are not satisfied. And Purochitti, when the sons grow up, she leaves and goes back to Brahmaloka. But here Agnitra Maharaj is constantly remembering, very powerfully remembering Purochitti. His heart is churned by her memories. And that is why after death, he is transferred to the Purvaloka, Pitruloka, and there he meets Purvachitti, where she is residing in the Pitruloka. Prabhupada says he returned to Brahmaloka. Now, if you see the entire episode, this chapter is nothing less than a super hit movie. We see there is an actress, there is actor, hero, heroine, and they somehow they come in contact with each other and they fall in a relationship, and there is so much of struggle for that relationship. He has to work hard for that, and he has to sacrifice so many things, and then he does so many things for her, but somehow the relation doesn't fructify. Then there is separation, and in that separation, both the hero and the heroine, they leave their bodies. So there are 5 features, actually 5 things that come in this entire episode or any episode. First is, there is something called as beauty or rupa. Beauty is that feature when a person could appreciate the beauty in terms of his eyes, ears, nose, beautiful smile, and so many other things. So there is a rupa. Now, when 2 people, they come together, seeing the external features or whatever features they have seen and they have appreciated them, then they try to gain each other. But gaining them at times, not always, but at times, there can be so many difficulties where both of them want each other, but due to some circumstances, they are not able to be with each other. But still, all the while, they are trying to give pleasure to each other. And still, if things don't fructify, then they have to stay in separation. And in that separation, they die. So these are the 5 things. First is the beauty. Then there are difficulties. Then still in those times, they try to give pleasure to each other. Then there is intense feeling of separation. And in the intense feeling of separation, they leave or they die. Or there is death. Now this entire episode is based on all these 5 things. Let's see how it goes. Now Srila Prabhupada in this purport is giving examples of, in the last purport is giving examples of 2 people. I already spoke this. One is a Siddha and one is a Sadhaka. Siddha is Srila Haridas Thakur and Sadhaka is our Vishwamitra Muni. So Srila Haridas Thakur, he was very focused on Krishna. But Vishwamitra Muni, we know, eventually he was diverted by Menka due to the impurity still lurking in his heart, which got fructified due to some reason. So this 5 stages are seen in both people. They are seen in a Siddha also, they are seen in a Sadhaka. But for different people, different things are seen. Just like from Srimad Bhagavat, if you read all the episodes of Srimad Bhagavat, it becomes very clear that how one goes from a lower level to the higher level of highest level called Krishna Prem. And in all the stages, one thing keeps on increasing is the feeling of separation from Lord Krishna goes on increasing. So this feeling of separation is a very, very powerful tool, which all of us, all sadhakas, should use as much as possible. Because just that one feeling, as it goes on intensifying, it not only burns all the impurities in the heart or all your previous karma, but also it can give us a feeling of the presence of Lord Krishna. We can see in the pastime, in the 10th canto, where the gopis, some of the gopis were not allowed by their family men to go for the Rasa Leela, and they were held back. But then that desire, that separation, that feeling to be with Krishna has gone to such an intensity that they leave their body in that place. And in their spiritual bodies, in the completely purified state, they meet Krishna in the Rasa Leela. So that is the power of separation, the feeling of separation. Vipralamba Bhav is so powerful. Not only it burns down all our previous bad karmas, but also it gives a glimpse of the presence of Lord Krishna. Just like we see Vritrasur. Vritrasur spoke only 4 verses. They are called one of the seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. But they are so powerful. And in one of the shlokas, he is saying, Ajata Paksha Iva Mataram Khaga Stanyam Yatavat Sarataha Shudhartha Priya Priyaiva Vishitam Vishannam Mano Arvindakshat Dikshato Tvam. He is saying, he gives 3 examples. In his intense separation on the war field, when Indra is not killing Dhritarasura and he is feeling tremendous separation from the Supreme Lord, he quotes 3 examples. First, he is saying, Ajata Paksha Iva Mataram Kada. Just like a bird, a baby bird, waits for his mother to come and feed him. But then he realizes that this example is not appropriate, because the bird is completely dependent on his mother. He is not able to serve his mother anyway. Then he says, Stanyam yata vatsarata raha shudartha. Shuda is hungry, a calf which is hungry for its mother milk. At least he is attached to something that his mother provides. In return, he may not be able to give anything. Then he feels that this example is also incomplete. I should have, what kind of feelings do I have for the Supreme Lord? He is saying, Priya Priyaiva Vishitam Vishanna. Just like a chaste wife is completely attached and absorbed in the thoughts of serving her husband who is away from her. So that intense feeling of separation and that desire to serve is creating such intense emotion in the heart of that wife, and that is how she is trying to convey the Supreme Lord that this is the way I'm desiring to serve you. That intensity, that separation is growing so strong that now I cannot live a moment without you. He's trying to convey the Supreme Lord through these 3 examples. But till what time the Lord doesn't reciprocate or doesn't come before a living entity? We can see this from an example of Narad Muni in the 1st canto. Narad Muni, we saw as a child, he was performing intense tapasya, meditation, and he got one glimpse of the Supreme Lord, and that is where his meditation broke. And what is the Lord saying to him? Yasmin jana prana viyoga kale kshanam samavesha mano avishuddham. Avishuddham means your mind has some traces of impurity left. Nirritya kama shema su yati param gatim brahma mayo arkor. He is saying that, no, this shloka is from 10th canto. And 1st canto, the Lord is saying, avipakva kashayanam. Avipakva means you are immature, and there is kashayanam. Kashayan means there is impurity in your heart, Narada. And hence, kuyoginam, your devotion is not complete. it still is lacking in something. And that is where the Lord says that you serve me now in this mood of separation. When you serve me in this mood of separation, then all the leftover impurities will be burned out, and in the next life you can see me. So the Lord waits till the entire impurities are gone. And that impurities can be burned at a faster pace by intensifying this mood of separation. When this mood of separation goes far and wide, then we can, it becomes very easy to approach the Lord, and the Lord is very eager to give us his darshan. Just like when Uddhava goes to Vrindavan and he meets Nanda Baba, Yashoda Mai and all the Vrajvasis, and he sees the piteous condition of all the Vrajvasis, and that is where he comes to an understanding that what is real love for Krishna. And there is that is where he quotes this shloka from 10th canto, 46th chapter, 30-33. Yasmin jana prana viyoga kale kshanam samavesha mano avishuddham. You are remembering so much. Every moment you are remembering the Supreme Lord, that there is no more impurity left. And param gatim brahma mayo arkavarna. You have already achieved the supreme destination of any sadhaka. If he is desiring anything, the Supreme Lord is playing in your house as your child, and you have served him to that great extent. So there is nothing more left for you, but still they are serving the Supreme Lord in their intense feeling of separation. And here also in the case of Ritrasur, we see that the whole event of Ritrasur was molded by the Supreme Lord just to ignite the fire of separation in the heart of Vritrasur. And we see in this episode when Vritrasur is fighting with Indra, he is eager to die. Why? Because is this world not giving him any pleasure? Absolutely not, because his mind is completely absorbed in the thoughts of the Supreme Lord. And what example is he giving? Priya Priyaiva. Just like a wife is completely attached to her husband, and in that separation she is trying to serve her. He is in that deep separation from the Lord. So any event we have to see from this aspect of separation. When this separation is intensified, just like here we see Agnitra Maharaj, he is having so much of intense separation. He wants, somehow or the other, he wants to please this lady and get her favor. And he gets her favor. Similarly, when our feelings for the Lord are intensified, especially in terms of separation, that is what Gaudiya Vaishnavism is all about. It is all about serving the Supreme Lord in separation. The entire Chaitanya Charitamrita is based on this point of separation, serving the Lord in separation. What else is there? This is the topmost way we can serve the Supreme Lord. And that is why all the devotees, every now and then, they are asking for nothing else but the association of devotees, so that by hearing about the glories of the Lord, they can feel satisfied. Now let's try and see how this mood of separation is seen in a sadhaka and a siddha. Just like there are absolutely there are differences, one thing, but in two different cases is seen differently. Just like a girl, when before marriage with her parents, she behaves differently. But when she is married with her in-laws, with her husband, with the in-laws' relative, she behaves in a very different way. But the person is same. Similarly, this mood of separation, intense separation, is seen differently in a sadhaka and differently in a siddha. Which example Prabhupada has already quoted. And also Prabhupada in the end of the purport is giving the example of Prahlad Maharaj, who is a siddha. But then how that siddha is serving the Supreme Lord in this material world? Prabhupada's purport are filled with all information if we read clearly. How a sadhaka is serving in this material world and how a siddha is serving in this material world. What are the plans of a sadhaka and what are the plans of a siddha? If we understand this very clearly, then the whole path becomes very easy and understandable, what I have to do now and in the next stage. So let's see how these things work for a sadhaka and a siddha. Now sadhaka, for him, initially the rupa part or the beauty part is maybe he is attracted to some other person, his or her beauty. But when he is connected in Krishna consciousness, that rupa gets shifted to the beauty of the Supreme Lord. And so for him, the place of rupa is not the external world, but the temple where the Supreme Lord is situated in his beautiful Trivanga Lalita form. So the temple becomes the house of rupa, the place of smaran for the sadhaka. Because there he can have a direct darshan and personal audience with the Supreme Lord. He can remember, he can see the beauty of the Lord, he can appreciate the beauty of the Lord. He gains the knowledge about the Lord. His sambandha gyan becomes stronger in the temple. His appreciation for the Lord's beauty becomes stronger in the temple. And when he sambandha gyan and when he sees the beauty of the Lord, then he tries to establish a relationship with the Supreme Lord. Then what happens? He takes on to the process of Krishna consciousness. And while traversing that path, you already know there are 9 stages till you reach the stage of prema. And the most toughest is the anartha nivritti part. So his difficulties on this path are the 6 anartha which are inside, which are not outside. For him, the outside world is not as dangerous as the inside world because all negativity is stored inside. Now he has made a desire to establish relationship with Krishna. But then who will give him that strength to continue on that fight with the difficulties? That is where the sadhana comes into picture. And when through the sadhana he gets purified, then there is a desire to give pleasure to Krishna. Now how he will give pleasure to Krishna? For a sadhaka, pleasure to be given to Krishna is in 2 forms. First, he applies what he has learned by his applying in his own life in the form of acharan. And the second is through what he has understood, he is trying to give it to others in the form of prachar. So acharan and prachar, preaching and following, are the 2 ways in which a sadhaka will please the Supreme Lord. He'll try and give pleasure to the Supreme Lord. Because here in this material world, pleasure, people think that boiling milk, making pan, no, this is not, Krishna is not, because entire Gita, Krishna is saying, Loka Sangraham Evapi Sampashan Kartu Marasi. I am not worried about anybody. I am only worried about the general masses. My entire coming to this material world is focused around the general masses. Because anyways, those who have knowledge will do something and get out of this material. But the common man, I am worried about them. So to please Krishna, to give pleasure to Krishna, Krishna desires that we follow it. And through our following, we guide others on this path of Krishna consciousness. That is where in the 4th chapter, Krishna is giving the example of Janak Maharaj. That too, Janak Maharaj doesn't need karma yoga and other things. But still he is acting by to set an example. So that is how we please as a sadhaka. And that is 18.68, Krishna says, who is the most dear person to him? Ya imam paramam guhyam mad bhakteshu vidyasthiti. Abhidyasthiti means one who explains this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to other people who don't know. For him, 2 things are guaranteed. Bhakti mai param kritva. I will make sure that he gets pure devotional service. And second thing, I will make sure that he comes back to me. 18.68, Krishna says this. That is how a preacher is so dear to Krishna, because the preacher is doing Krishna's work. He is acting on behalf of Krishna. What has it to do with this material world? He is not interested in name fame. He is interested in seeing how many conditioned souls are brought back to Krishna. That is why Prabhupada said, preaching means result. How many people are chanting Hare Krishna 16 rounds? That is also to be seen. Prabhupada always used to say, preaching means result. Where are the results? How many books are distributed? How many plates of prasadam are fed? How many new people are joining? How many new people are chanting 16 rounds? Now in this Thursday, he is trying to give pleasure, but somehow, now he is feeling that separation from Krishna. What is that separation? Oh, I am so far away from Krishna. No, he is feeling that so much more has to be done for Krishna. I am staying with Krishna, but still I am so far away due to this anartha. This is his separation. And that is where he tries and intensify and increase his practices. And then when his practices are intensified and when it reaches a very higher stage, that is where he dies. Mrityu. What is that mrityu? That mrityu is not this body mrityu. It is the mrityu of the ahankar. When the ahankar is destroyed, material ahankar, and when he returns to the stage of his true ego, that I am the servant of Krishna, and serving Krishna will only make me happy. When he reaches that, automatically the material ego will be dissolved. And that is what is called as mrityu. Bhagavad speaks about this. All these things are given in Srimad Bhagavad. Point I am trying to drive is, all these things are given in Prabhupada's purport. There is nothing that is not given in Prabhupada's purport. Everything is there if we read carefully. Now, how it applies to a Siddha? Siddha means the pure devotees of Lord, our Acharya. And who are the topmost Acharya? Naham vipro na chanarpati napi vaisho na chudro naham varni na chagrahapati na vanasto yatirva kintu pradyam nikhila paramanandam purna amritab der gopir bhartur padakamalayor das dasanta. The gopis are the topmost Acharyas on this path of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Now, how all these five parameters come in the life of a pure devotee? Rup. When they are chanting, that chanting of Krishna's glories or chanting of Krishna's name will directly trigger the smaran of Krishna. They will directly see the form of Krishna. Whereas the sadhaka tries to force. For them, the beauty of Krishna, when they say Krishna, Krishna appears and they are able to realize the beauty of Krishna. Whatever they are speaking, they can see, they can be in that event. That is what is rupa for them. They are speaking and experiencing. And second is vipada. What are the difficulties for a pure devotee? There is no six anarthas for him. There is no false ego for him. The real difficulties for a pure devotee is the difficulties that he faces to establish the mission of Lord Chaitanya. He is not into building one temple and two temples. No. For an acharya, it is worldwide movement. It is an andolan. Hare Krishna andolan. It is not in one place and two places. No, it is the entire world, and everywhere Prabhupada faced challenges. What to speak of in the whole world? Prabhupada faced it right in his own organization when the initial devotees were not mature enough to understand the position of an acharya. He faced so many struggles. His life was threatened. When he was in Calcutta, he was giving a Pandal program, and the Naxalites, they enter there. And Prabhupada was peacefully sitting there and chanting Brahma Samhita. No ordinary person can do this. So that are the difficulties that he has to face. The difficulties are not the six anarthas and this desire is troubling, that desire. No. Huge, completely different thing for that. And how does he give pleasure to Lord Krishna? Same thing. He preaches as it is. He doesn't mix anything. He is only and only, his life is meant to speak what Krishna has spoken. He doesn't want to add anything of his own, no masala. He wants to speak as it is. He doesn't mind repeating the simplest thing his guru has taught him to the topmost of the audience. He speaks as it is without mixing anything. That is how he pleases Krishna, by bringing lot many people, organizing so many programs and festivals and long distance courses, and universities are being set up, and everywhere the mission of Lord Chaitanya is flourishing. That is how he gives pleasure to Krishna. And what is his separation? His separation of a pure devotee is so intense that he sees Krishna in everything and anything. 6.29 speaks of the same thing. Sarva bhutastam atmanam sarva bhutani chatmani. Ikshate yoga yukta atma, yukta atma. Ikshate, he is seeing everything in connection to Lord Krishna. That is how he is feeling separation. His intense separation, that every small thing is trying to see Krishna. Ikshate yoga yukta atma. He is yukta. He is connected so deeply with Krishna that he sees, just like a lover, he sees his beloved everywhere. That is how intensely he is connected. Read Prabhupada's, the bhajans written by Prabhupada. He is saying, I am feeling so much intense separation from you, Krishna. I am remembering those good old days when I was with you in the groves of Vrindavan. We were playing and we were frolicking and we were eating tiffin together. Oh, when will that day be mine? Prabhupada has written this. He is feeling such strong, intense emotions when he was on the Jaladuta with two heart attacks. Can you imagine a person having two heart attacks and still writing such strong emotions? Where are they coming from? They are coming because he is dead. Mrityu is already dead. On what level? He is mukti ritvanyata rupam swarupena vyavastiti. He is so well situated in his own swarupa, in his spiritual identity, that all the time he is materially completely dead. From the time he has left the spiritual world and from the time he has started his mission, he has known who he is and why he has come here and what is the purpose of his existence in this material world. Swarupena vyavastiti ritvanyata mukti. He is already liberated. He is a Jivan Mukta. And that is why he doesn't function on the basis of false ego. There is no material desire in him. That he is dead. So his connection, his separation from Lord Krishna is so strong that where is the question of he being separated from Lord Krishna? He is intensely connected. He has such strong feelings for Krishna. So we see on this platform, on this earth platform, sadhaka has a different emotional background and a siddha has a different. And in the spiritual world, we can see altogether something different is happening. Yeah. In the spiritual world, the gopis, they are constantly remembering the beautiful form of the Lord. We see 10th canto is sufficient to make us understand what is happening in the spiritual world. When Krishna left the Rasa dance arena, 10th chapter, 10th canto, 38th chapter, I think, I exactly don't know, 14th shloka, the gopis, they are so much, it is, the word is used, katar, viraha katar, they are so intensely burning in that separation. Why? Atmikam, they are absorbed, completely absorbed, and in that feeling of complete absorption, what are they doing? Just chanting Hare Krishna. Where did the Hare Krishna Mahamantra originate? Golokera Premdar Harinam Sankirtan. This is the first time when the gopis chanted when Krishna left him. They chanted the Hare Krishna Mantra there, and that is how it is Golokera Premdan. They got back Krishna when they were chanting this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. They are so intensely absorbed in the beautiful form of Lord Krishna. Absorbed in his thoughts. Then what are the difficulties? The difficulties are not internal, they are external. Their in-laws are not allowing them to meet Krishna. They are trying to pull them away and putting so many obstacles. That is the obstacle. They are not allowing me to meet Krishna. I have so much of love for Krishna. So the fight for earth, there is no fight on an internal level on this, in the spiritual platform, in the spiritual world. It is all external. People are trying to pull you away from Krishna, keeping you away from Krishna. And one who tries to imitate this platform when he is in an impure state is a Sahajiya. That is why Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna in association of devotees, stay in association of devotees. No alone business, Prabhupada allowed. Nobody. And what are they doing for giving pleasure to Krishna? That they are doing, some of them are making betel nut leaves and some are boiling the milk. This is the seva of the spiritual world. It is not meant for here. No boiling milk here. Krishna here wants preaching. Where are people? Prabhupada used to say, where are people? Where are people? That is how Krishna wants, because that are Krishna's words. Prabhupada is just repeating. What you will do making pan that anybody can make in temple? Krishna wants preaching. Where are people? They are going full speed to hell. Who will stop them? So that is how. So this seva of the spiritual world is different. The gopis are doing all this. decorating the swing. Of course, that access is still given to us in this material world. Don't we celebrate the swing festival? Don't we offer betel nut to every day? Lalita Devi offers it to Lord Krishna, and Vishakha Devi is doing chamar, and the Matajis in the kitchen are boiling the milk and preparing so many sweet items. So that is there. That is good. That is nice. But what Krishna wants is preaching. So sukh, that the way we give pleasure to Krishna here and there is completely different. Because agenda of Krishna here and there is completely different. That we have to understand. And that, then there is the viraha. What a viraha they are showing. Such great, intense separation these gopikas are saying. Even if they are blinking their eyelid, how much it takes? 1/10 of a second. Now, second in itself is so small, and 1/10 of a second this eyelid blinks. And they are cursing whom? They are saying Brahmaji is foolish. He doesn't know how to create anything. That is the kind of separation they are feeling. I can't stay. This blinking is also creating trouble because I cannot see the beauty of Lord Krishna. And there is something that goes beyond Srimati Radharani. Krishna is sitting next to her, and for a moment she forgets that Krishna is sitting, and in that she goes into separation, in trance of separation. And she falls. And then Krishna has to come and pat her and wake her up. That is the intense separation that these Golokavasis are feeling from Lord Krishna. But then all the time, this Nitya Siddha, they have this patience. They have this faith that yes, Krishna will return back to us. Krishna has gone to the forest and he will return back in the evening. That surety they have. And that is why they keep that patience. They keep that faith that yes, Krishna will come back and do lots of pastime. And this is the point for us sadhakas, that we also have to have this faith that one day Krishna will accept us for sure. That is shown by Mata Rukmini in her letter, when she says that I am ready to die unlimited times if that is what pleases you, Krishna. I am ready to wait for that many lifetimes. If that is how I am able to get back to you. So the entire journey is from giving nija sukh. On the sadhaka level, we want to give pleasure to our own selves. From nija sukh to Krishna sukh. Here we see Agnitra Maharaj for his own pleasure. He wants to go to Pitruloka. Now also he wants Purvajiti, and after that he wants to go to Pitruloka and enjoy. But the entire journey is from giving nija sukh to Krishna sukh. To giving pleasure to Krishna. Under all circumstances, not only favorable circumstances. So for this journey, we need to have that faith and patience. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful, beautiful class and explaining so many things like the intention of how the mood of separation should be there, and how sadhaka should be served and siddha should be serving. And at last, the point was very highlight. We should have the patience for Lord Krishna will come and how we can have the faith on Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful and wonderful class, Prabhuji. I request all the devotees, if anybody have any questions or realizations to Prabhuji, you can please go ahead. You have time, right, Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dhanur Panam, Jaisra Prabhupada. This is Ajay Govindas here. Thank you for the nice discourse. I just want to confirm one thing you mentioned, that when we are doing the service, preaching and the results are more important. Oh, you know, as compared to other services, other services which people are doing in the temple or otherwise. Did I understood it correctly?
Actually, all services are important, Prabhuji. Nothing, because if some devotee, if he is not able to preach and if he is happy doing some other temple services, that is also appreciated. But Prabhupada wanted to highlight the need of the hour. The need of the hour is preaching. Initially, Prabhupada said, get devotees. And after that, he said, boil the milk. Means now, let them increase their sadhana, get purified. And again, what will this purification do? It will bring new devotees. They will go out, preach and bring more devotees. So ultimately, if no new devotees are coming, the mission will not move ahead. So that is okay. A big concern for the organization.
Got it, Prabhu. Thank you so much for that.
Yes, thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Sukumar Gaur Prabhu, thank you so very much for such a beautiful and powerful class. It touched so deeply by the entire class. I really appreciate you making the point that Vipralamba mood, that it actually purifies us, it burns those impurities, because I've never heard it kind of framed that way before. And that was just, wow, that was really, really beautiful. And I'm also grateful for the point that you made that for us as sadhakas, that to give pleasure to Krishna is to follow and to preach. And again, you just condensed so much for us, because I mean, I know for myself as a sadhaka, you know, I'm always thinking, you know, am I doing the right things? How do I give pleasure to Krishna? What is it I can do? And you just condensed all of the teachings that I've heard into those two simple things, just following and preaching. So I am so, so very grateful for your class today.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much.
We are taking a lot of inspiration from you, Mataji.
Oh, no.
For all the devotees in the Western world, such dense, condensed Maya, and still you are all sincerely practicing. Thank you so much. Thank you, all of you, for giving me this opportunity. In some way, I could serve you. Really feeling inspired from all of you. Thank you.
No, we're just trying and we're learning from you. So thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu, for very nice points. And
Hare Krishna.
One question, Prabhu. This one.
Yes.
If you see these two verses, the beauty and attraction of a woman are described, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, when we read these things with a neophyte person, and if the question was strongly, you know, what is this, you know, why is not there in the literature? And,
and
so what, how do we, you know, say it, Prabhu, in a nice, understandable, simple way?
Usually what we tell the newcomers is, Bhagavat is a Kavya. It is like a poem. And in a poem, you have to use ornaments and decorative words. Plus, the other point is, in a Kavya, just like we have 12 rasas. So all 12 rasas have to be included in that. That is when the relationship becomes more condensed, when a person is able to relish all the 12 rasas. And this is what Bhagavat is about to give to each and every individual. All the 12 rasas in a story form. And when he reads Bhagavat and when he relishes or understands this 12 rasas, he automatically gets purified. But this won't happen in the other literatures. Why? Because this Bhagavat is nothing but a spiritual sound representation of Krishna. And one meaning of the word Krishna, or that is given, is Krishna means he is purifying. So when we read Bhagavat, even if we read these events, it will ultimately lead to purification. But the other books don't give this facility of purification. So even if it is there, we have to see the end result, plus the point Prabhupada drives in every purport where such a phenomena is given, is these are the things which we have to be cautious. These things are utility based. Just like here we see Agnidra Maharaj going to tapasya, and then Purvachitti comes, then they enter a relation and they have 9 kids, and then she leaves. And he is here, And through her, he achieves a higher destination. This in itself is sufficient to say that the Bhagavad main focus is purification. So even if we read these events, it should only lead to purification. But if initially the sadhaka's mind is not very pure, then we don't tell him that you read this. You start from Canto 1. That is how when he gets comfortable with the Canto 1 and he understands the teaching from Canto 1, then later on gradually as he chants, as he hears more, he'll come to a proper realization. So this is needed because it is a kavya and it has to cover all the 12 rasas which are very much part of a happening relationship. That is why we see this has been covered every now and then.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
हरे कृष्ण प्रभु कोटि कोटि दंडवत प्रणाम श्रील प्रभुपाद श्रील गुरुदेव की जय श्री राधा गोपीनाथ की जय थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर योर डीप 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 डिवोशनल एसोसिएशन
हरे कृष्ण थैंक यू माता जी
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much for such a beautiful, beautiful class. Your classes are so, so nice, Prabhu. We'll have so many points to learn from the class. Thank you so much. I really like the class.
Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Lalitanga Mataji. Yeah, you can go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Bol, Dandavat Mataji. Nice to see.
Prabhuji.
All credit goes to you.
Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji, and you know, very, very nice instructions you gave. So I couldn't understand one point that you said that beautiful girl and everybody was looking at her, all the kings there, some fell off from their chariot and like that, and Krishna took away her and Krishna came. So how that happened?
Agnidra Maharaj is asking Purvachitti that this bow which you are carrying, which is without a string, whether it is for your personal use or is it for helping others? So in that we took this point for personal use also. Means Rukmini is using her personal beauty to be with Krishna. That is how her beauty was helpful her, because the kings, they fell from their chariot, and that was the time when Rukmini and Krishna both took, and Krishna took away Rukmini. So she used it for her personal benefit in Krishna consciousness.
Okay.
That is the point I made.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Lalitangi Mataji, you were talking something, but we could not hear you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, am I audible? No?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very nice class, and every time you come, you make so many practical points that we can learn. And I want to especially thank you for this point about preaching. Of course, yes. We have to follow, and that is the main preaching, but also make an endeavor to distribute this to new people. If that is not there, whether it's an yatra or it's I mean, it's a stagnant thing. Like, you know, that's what is giving some enthusiasm for us also to see how new people are transformed and doing that.
Right.
A very, very nice point, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much.
And
I feel that
in that way, even our practice and our knowledge is tested. We are in this, how much we are able to convey and convince others at the same time. We are also, how much we are able to practice ourselves to be an example. So, thank you so much for that.
Yes, thank point. You. Thank you, Madhu.
Dear devotees, are there any other further questions to Prabhuji or realizations? You can go ahead. If if no other further questions or realizations, we can end the call here.
Yes.
So we thank you so much once again, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful and enlightening class. And we are so thankful and grateful to you. We look forward for your association. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji and all from all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpatarupyasya kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Grantat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupad ki jai. His Grace Kumar Gaur Prabhuji ki jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you.